Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
There's probably 6 or 7 guys I can name that I would rather do. Yeah, it's where the hard dudes are.
Club 1080.
I loved COVID.
Just saying.
Hey, I had a new wiener the other day, and it was delightful.
At the club, Club 1080.
I am in your boob.
You know what the solution to that is? That's our penis.
I bought the cock, and then I released it. Another jelly bean in my dong.
I'm sorry. I want to run. I can go and use sex doll from here out.
And also, who's in charge of your penis?
Who is in charge?
Scooby-Doo ghost penis mystery?
Yeah. When the cat's away, the mice will play. Ortner on the drops today. Very nicely done.
I don't think I could eat beaver.
Oh, trust me. I think you could, Souk. I think you could.
What?
Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Because this is what I was thinking about while I was holding my pecker.
Might be holding it later tonight, doing some karaoke.
What are you going to do? Pee on me? Like, I don't know.
No, I will not.
Oh, I'm hurt.
No, there don't.
Oh.
You just sit here and play drops for the entire club hour?
Yeah, literally an hour of
freaking
drops.
Freaking bitch!
One of these days, I do feel like like on an Isaac and Sukla show, like a history of the drops board. Might need to be brought in where we explain the origin of some of these drops. And
quite possibly.
There are some that I don't know where they came from. Like, I don't remember that one.
I came hard today.
Yeah, like, why did Mike Lynch say, "Hi, I'm a balloon, bye"?
Largest penis in the world and the dude pops up.
I mean, those are low-hanging fruit, okay? I get it. Any dong mentions or scrote mentions or whatever we're allowed to say on here... Yeah, those are frequent.
You two dudes swallowing wieners.
There we go.
Yep, that's
wieners. Forgot that word.
That's what he was talking. I know, and I know the context of that. He was talking about Netflix putting out a special that was Joey Chestnut versus Kobayashi, and he said, "And I give you two dudes swallowing wieners."
And so that's pretty true.
Yeah,
that was a good special. Joey Chestnut, still the wiener eating champion of the world.
Well, that actually is a decent segue into food and gluttonous food at that. I came across this story yesterday. It was one that was aggregated by Barstool, and I dug a little deeper to find some of the original articles and whatnot, and I was blown away. It's a story of sports, food, and culture, and what it is it's a guy by the name of Kosuke Chujo and his wife Tomomi. And they are Japanese. They live in or outside of Tokyo. But for this guy's entire life, he's been a huge fan of the city of Philadelphia. And it started with Philly music, soul, and Patti LaBelle, and he liked the vibe of Philly, but he felt that more than just a city's music, like there's other things like food and sports that play into it. And so in 2011, his family owned like a paper printing company or something like that. And he decided, taking over the family business, I'm going to turn it into a restaurant. And he had such affinity for the city of Philadelphia, and he liked so much about it, that he named the restaurant Philly. And then decided, like, I should try to make a Philly cheesesteak. And he had never been to Philadelphia, had never had an original Philly cheesesteak. And his wife even thought, well, you should go, like, we should go. But he had this big fear of flying. So he tried to research everything he could just about the American cheesesteak, or the Philadelphia cheesesteak specifically.
Yeah.
And tried to recreate it. And so first one that came out, I guess, was solid, and it looked just like a cheesesteak, but included teriyaki, and his buddy who like went to Penn was like, that looks like it, but that's really not it.
Can't do teriyaki, yeah.
And so and basically he's now on this path to trying to learn about it and trying to get it right. And his wife was like, well, our restaurant is named Philly and we're serving like Italian food right now. We need to just be serving Phillies. And he's like, but I don't know how. Like, not sure what to do. Well, they used COVID as an opportunity to try to travel when it was cheap and restrictions weren't allowing everyone to go everywhere, but certain international things you were able to do. So he and his wife went over to Philadelphia, and they went to Geno's, they went to Pat's, they went to Tony Luke's, they went to Angelo's, they went to Jim's. They started trying all these cheesesteaks. He brings a scale with him to weigh out the ingredients, to weigh out what the final sandwich should look and feel like. And he's like learning, like a sushi chef would, from the cheesesteak masters of Philadelphia, how to make the perfect cheesesteak so that his little restaurant back in Tokyo can be the perfect representation of Philly and brotherly love halfway across the world.
I
like,
love that.
That's like his little idea. And basically, once he got there and tasted a cheesesteak and tasted what it was supposed to be like, he essentially got it right. He'd been working on it for so long. He even developed a favorite in the Philly area, a lesser known Karanji Bakery or Baking Company, that's about a mile out away from the NovaCare complex in Philadelphia. He liked that one the best, kind of modeled it after that. And now his spot has become like a haunt and a hang for any Philly expats.
Yeah.
They all go there. They watch games at 4 in the morning. And now even Philly locals are saying this is just like home. He's recreated the perfect Philly cheesesteak that he initially knew nothing about and was just drawn to the music. And now he has the perfect representation of Philly back in Tokyo. He's become a viral Instagram sensation. People who are from Philly or from Pennsylvania go out of their way to go to his restaurant in Japan. Now he's going back over to Philadelphia to make it, as you know, make pop-up sandwiches for people at games and stuff like that. It's become this huge thing. And I just, for one, I love that this guy was so committed to one specific weird thing. He made his whole freaking life about it. He changed his paper printing shop into a restaurant, changed it from Italian to Philadelphia cuisine, and then he and his wife went halfway around the world to study cheesesteaks. And now, in addition to her, he does a lot of the assembly and the marketing and the restaurant maintenance. His wife will cook the beef. She does her own homemade cheese whiz now that she makes there. People say it's sensational, and they offer all the other typical offerings that come with a cheesesteak, whether it's peppers, onions, mushrooms, you like a different dressing, you like mayo, you like ketchup, whatever. They kind of have it all. And he basically just says, yeah, I love that place and I had to pay tribute to it the right way.
That's pretty sick. I know that internationally there are some great American spots like around the world because of dedication to people, you know, or from people to cuisine like this. And it's kind of cool to hear about it beyond, like, I've always been kind of fascinated by, like, McDonald's, for instance. They'll do, like, a localized version of, like, hamburgers. So you can go, like, in Japan, for instance, they've got a lot of options like sushi or fish related to, like, McDonald's that you wouldn't have back here in America.
Right.
So it's really cool for that kind of flip-flopping, and then for these dedicated people to just, God, bust their ass and put so much work into making something correct. It kind of makes me want to go to Japan and try a Philly cheesesteak from that specific bar. But on top of that, Buck, I think the NFL just got a great idea from this guy. You're talking about, like, sports becoming this international thing, specifically the NFL trying to get into Brazil, trying to get into Germany, into Europe, and that kind of thing. Just go build these team-themed bars all around the world.
It's pretty cool.
Got to put some money into it, but hey, the NFL's got a lot. You leave somebody as dedicated as this gentleman there to run it and focused on keeping the taste correct and keeping the vibe correct. Yeah, I think you got something. But that is really cool that Philly essentially, what, Philly Light over in Japan there? That's awesome.
Yeah, and so we'll talk about this more in the next segment. So then I'm curious, and it can be food. It doesn't have to be. But is there any either food item or consumable, something that you love enough that you would dedicate your entire livelihood to try and recreate the best version of it? Like, if you were going to do what this guy did, but with another thing, what would that be? I'll let you chew on that. I want to ask the text line as well. I have one idea. I think I'm way out of my depths, but I'll present that coming up. And some of your texts as well. You're listening to The Club on 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, I always felt I could be a great salesman. Well, believe me, I could talk anybody into anything, except women into sex. That's the only thing I can't do.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
Welcome back. We are regaling the tale of Kosuke and Tomomi Chujo, who opened a Philly-themed restaurant in Tokyo, then studied the art of the Philly cheesesteak, only to make the perfect cheesesteak and have the perfect Philadelphia haven away from Pennsylvania. Really cool story and, I guess, successful experiment for him and his family. I was asking you, the fans, some of your ideas, what you would like to try to make or perfect, but let me start with you guys. Do you have anything that, any food, if you're like, I like this enough, I would try to get this perfectly right and create it for the masses?
I mean, I think of stuff that I feel like is already easy to copy, like a stuffed crust pizza or like a good smash burger or something like that.
See?
Stuffed crust pizza, literally, Domino's does it, Pizza Hut does it now, like Godfather's does it, I think Papa John's even does it. Every single person out there that sells pizza, at least corporate-wise, has a stuffed crust option.
But that's a good one. Just pizza in general is a good one because anybody can make pizza, but getting the dough exactly right, getting the temp exactly right, getting the texture, the sauce, the ingredients, like, that's no easy task. I think that's a good one. Will, you got anything in this realm?
I'm a horrible cook, so there's nothing that I would take the time to actually learn and do. But I'll tell you what, right now, I've been eating a ton, and I mean a ton, of protein pancakes.
Okay.
I freaking love pancakes.
What goes into a protein pancake?
I just buy whatever, like the Kodiak or the Crusties or whatever they call it. I'll even try the Premier stuff. And then what I do is, because I'm fat, I will buy like chocolate chips.
You're protein forward.
I will buy my own chocolate chips, and I'll sprinkle a little bit of those in there. The Reese's, they do like a Reese's one that tastes just like a Reese's chocolate bar. Throw those guys in there.
Okay.
And then throw a little peanut butter on top. Good stuff.
I can dig it. I think for me, and I never tried my hand at this seriously, but mine would be barbecue. Specifically pulled pork. I think that pulled pork is something that you can find everywhere.
Yes.
But few people do it really well. Sometimes it comes dried out, not flavorful enough or whatever. When I got married, one of the items that we put on our registry, I think it was from Target, was a Traeger smoker.
Hell yes.
And even though it was like seemed way out of price range for one person to buy as a gift, my brother and my friend Dave and my friend Ryan and a few others got together and jointly gave that to my wife and I as a wedding gift. So pre-kids with just a meat smoker in the backyard, I got to work. And whether that was wings, briskets, ribs, I experimented with a lot in a short period of time. I don't think it's the best. I will say that I can put out an elite pulled pork. Like put the full 8 to 12 pound shoulder on there, bone in. I got to the point where I was injecting it the night before. I would make my own mixture of like apple juice, whiskey, butter, hot
apple cider
sauce,
vinegar,
apple cider vinegar. And then you inject it to hold the moisture.
Yes.
Season the whole thing, smoke it for a few hours, wrap it, keep the smoke going, let it rest. Like, there's all these secrets to, you need to let a pork shoulder rest for the juices to move around at least an hour and a half after you come off the grill.
You inject, you don't baste. I baste.
So I have also basted, but what I'll do is I inject before the cook, and then we'll baste a little bit before I put it in foil towards the end of the smoke.
See, I'm the weirdo. I'll take it out every hour, open the cover every hour, and I will baste the hell out of it. So usually, well, no, not usually. When you come into my house, you get good juicy meat. So
there you go.
Can pull that.
Yeah, absolutely, and we will. But so I would try to go down that road. I think that I could make a mean enough like pulled pork slider. I could sell those bad boys, but My smoking game has been a little bit on the shelf or on the back burner, if you will. With
you got two kids, buddy.
Yeah, you think the 2 and the 4-year-old are like, yeah, daddy, go check the temperature of the meat one more time? No, it's like chase me down the slide or whatever.
Don't you have that app though that you can that you can check on your phone?
Short answer is no. I did have a remote control thermometer both for the temperature inside of the smoker and for the temperature inside of the meat, but then the signal stopped working on it, so yeah. I don't really have that anymore. Also, it just takes so damn long. If like if you have a really great process, start it early, set it, forget it, like that's a possibility, but I'd have to tinker too much. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with smoking meat, right? Barbecue and smoking, I mean, they're technically different because you can grill barbecue too, but you really, if you're smoking it, it's not a set it and forget it thing. It's a lot of love involved and a lot of check-ins over, what, a period of 10, 12, 14 hours, depending on how low you actually go with the temperature. So
now a lot of good texts coming in on this. First, and this may be a good question that it's kind of an aside, but where does cheesesteak rank on your sandwich hierarchy?
I mean, I'm...
Give me a Mount Rushmore of sandwiches.
I mean, Philly's on there.
Okay.
A club sandwich.
Okay.
Straight, but it's got to have cheese on it. You got
sure,
a bacon,
yes.
Cheese, total club.
Meatball on there?
No.
French dip?
No.
Pastrami, Reuben?
Italian.
Italian.
Okay.
I would throw meatball on there.
You put meatball on there?
Like, if we're making it
like
Will Ortner's.
A legit one?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, you know, group think. Meatball sub, you can't go wrong.
Yep.
I think, and this is lame, you have to throw the turkey or the PB&J on there because
ooh,
it's the original.
To.
Like,
yeah.
Are you super jacked up? Like, can't wait. There's a new PB&J place down the street. No, of course not. But everyone has had
PB&J. No, that's your shortstop that hits eighth. You need them. But,
right.
You know.
Everyone has had one. Everyone likes it. It's a good tried and true. Same thing with like the turkey. Throw a little bit of like potato chips on there while you eat it.
Uh-huh,
like, you have
uh-huh.
to.
Yeah, I can get down with that, absolutely.
Turkey and pepper jack cheese. Yeah,
uh-huh. I like a turkey down. And Havarti sometimes.
Nice. What's your bread? What's your go-to? Because there's the bun, like the sandwich hot dog-shaped bun, or there's like sourdough, there's brioche, there's all kinds of
brioche
stuff.
Is good. Being a Bay Area guy, Dutch Crunch, big in California. There's a couple places up here who do it, but it's not as popular in the Northwest, it doesn't seem.
No, I've heard of it.
Ciabatta can be solid, but not if it's like too tough or chewy.
See, yeah, I don't like the hard.
It's got to be good
outer
like,
shell breads.
If we're going sliced bread, I like a sliced sourdough, or even a sourdough roll is okay.
I love rye. Give me some rye bread.
Rye's got to be. It's got to be the right sandwich for me for
but
rye,
like dark but rye only.
Sure. Yeah. So. I can get down with that.
Do you like that?
Sourdough is great.
Yes.
On just anything. Like this is just an aside. I'll eat a whole loaf of sourdough by myself. It's so good.
What's that marbled rye that they put on like
marbled
Monte
rye.
Cristo? Is
yeah.
that what it is?
Oh wait, is that what the Monte? No, I thought Monte Cristo was on Texas toast. Is it on?
Yeah, probably Monte Cristo sandwich. Let's see.
And then this question: if you have a Seahawks themed bar overseas, what would even be on the menu? Maybe sushi, espresso, a cream cheese hot dog.
Cream cheese hot dog has to be
because
it's Seattle.
The Seattle dog, yeah. I mean, is there... I'm trying to think if there are other...
What's their brew scene?
Well, I mean, maybe some sort of chowder. There's a lot of chowders up in
yes.
Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about it just from my own sports fandom, like San Francisco. Pretty much all San Francisco-based games, whether it's Giants, Niners, Warriors, you can get a sourdough bread bowl with either clam chowder or chili in it.
Hell
like,
yeah.
That's big.
San Francisco
Giants do the garlic fries. That could be something that you perfect.
I think a fish and chips at a Seattle restaurant.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Sure. Definitely.
Yeah, you got Pike's Market, and you got all kinds of... I mean, they do a lot of baked goods at Pike's, too. So
are you doing espresso
like
martini and coffee then because of Starbucks?
I mean, maybe
point,
it feels
though.
Like you should be opening up a coffee bar that then also like sells booze. And
but then you literally have to have like the Starbucks. It can't just. It's either Seattle's
you can't open
best
it, and
or
you don't
want to
open a
yeah.
Starbucks like because that already exists.
Or if you just get, hey, Starbucks makes our coffee for the espresso martinis. Somebody.
There you go. That works too.
Yeah.
Someone says for food that you would want to try to perfect. You mentioned this, Schultzy. The easy answer is pizza. If you could master the best pizza in the world, I would be a happy man.
I mean, you can. God, there's unlimited amounts of ways to make pizza, right? There's like the true Italian way. There's cooking it on a brick in the oven. There's just doing it like broiling. I mean, there's all kinds of different styles: Detroit style, Chicago style,
and
New York style.
I kind of know of a guy who did something like this with pizza. But when I lived in San Francisco, I lived in North Beach, which is like San Francisco's Little Italy, and I lived above a pizza shop called Tony's Pizza Napolitana, and he became world renowned because. He wanted to make the best Italian margarita pizza. Like that was his goal. Kind of like this dude in the cheesesteak. I just want to get this one pizza right. Like, The sauce, the mozz, the basil, the dough, that's it. Like, it's got to be perfect. And he did. He did so well that he went and became the first American ever to win the Margherita Pizza Making Championship in Naples, Italy. It had only been awarded to Italians and other Euros before, and he went and he made the best margherita pizza in the world, and then he brought the recipe back here. He gets imported Italian flour, he gets imported Italian tomatoes to make it, to make his own sauce. He has this like 700 degree brick oven that's like the perfect temperature, and he does quality control. He says if they do more than 73 a day, the quality suffers. So you can they only make 73 a day.
The Italian flour, I don't know if you've bought that special.
Yeah.
It's different. It's different. It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's more fine. It just feels like a better quality, frankly. It's definitely different.
You know why it's made the way it is?
Tell me.
So the Queen Margherita.
Were you not teaching a young class about Italy today?
Guess what? Yeah. I'm teaching you two now.
That's right.
Let's go to school.
So the Queen, pizza used to be like a cheap thing. It was made for commoners, right?
I think I've heard this.
The Queen saw this and was like, I want to try that out. So she goes to the best pizza maker at the time, is like, make me a pizza. And he's like, I got to make an original. And he wanted it to look like the Italian flag. That's why the mozzarella is like the big pieces, the big chunks for the white.
Yeah, the big old dollops,
The tomatoes are for the red, and the green is the basil.
Yep.
And so then she was like, I love this. This is fantastic. He then names it the Margherita Pizza, and that is how it became what it is today.
Look at that. A little history lesson.
See, I'm a great teacher.
We've actually done a lot of that today. Oregon history, food
That's
history.
That's right. Yeah, you now know that the hairy triton is the seashell of the state of Oregon.
And it's a pear. That's the state fruit. Yeah.
More thoughts on this topic. We'll get to some of those. And do you take a baby to a rave? We'll see if we get to that. But first, Will has SportsCenter.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. we get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Love Scott.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
Can I get a hot tub?
Welcome back to the club. We're now in the third round of the NFL draft. Still
weird.
No Shadur.
Yeah, this is
but
weird.
The Browns are on the clock again.
You wonder at this point, and I don't want to sports it too hard during the club, but we... This is crazy and unprecedented seeing a first-round pick drop this far, but at this point it becomes more about value and like the expected first-round pick falling, you know, to the third round, possibly to the fourth round. There will be a team that will just be unable to stop looking at what they see now as a diamond in the rough, possibly.
So lots of cool and interesting food thoughts coming in on the fan text line. First one says, lately I've been obsessed with making the perfect Indian food. We just had it for Easter. I nailed the tandoori chicken with the Kashmiri sauce and the lentil soup. My rice and naan are still a work in progress, though. And isn't, like, I love that because, like, trying to pick up another culture's food and do it really well is hard enough. Why is it that the simplest things are always the hard? The bread and the rice. Like, you try to make perfect, like, Japanese sticky rice, or you try to make perfect Indian rice.
Or, like, Spanish rice.
Yeah, that can sometimes be the hardest part of it. Like, a good Mexican rice, I think, has, like, lard or fat in it. So most people don't do that. And so getting the breads and the rices right is super difficult.
Well, I think, like, for Mexican rice, it's cumin is the main seasoning. And it kind of also gives it that red hue. But you got to add the right amount. So it's really, it goes back to, like, I mean, my aunt, she is, like, 100%. Mexican. She is the best cook. Like, I have gotten many authentic meals from her, and I've tried to replicate it. It just can't do it because she's got, like, old recipes that she goes by.
This person here brings up a good point. It says the owner of Dave's Hot Chicken is an Armenian immigrant who apparently spent years perfecting the perfect Nashville hot chicken recipe. Now, in my humble opinion, it's the best fast food chicken sandwich out there.
There you go.
That's to this guy's I mean, I don't know that he's doing a Nashville theme like this guy's doing a Philly theme. That's the perfect example. I love this chicken. I love the way this item is. I'm going to spend my life trying to make it absolutely perfect. I love that. I've had Dave's Hot Chicken. It's excellent. I haven't had it enough, but really darn good. Someone else says, there's a PDX tap room in Tokyo that serves a bunch of Pacific Northwest beers. I definitely want to visit.
Let's go.
This person says, I would love to perfect the perfect poutine. Do an all poutine restaurant like a Mod's Pizza where you pick the style of fries, gravy, cheese, meat, toppings, etc. That's a cool concept.
Yeah, and the cheese curds for the poutine, I mean, that's, you gotta make a good selection.
You gotta do
those.
It right.
Yeah, you can't pick bad ones. Tillamook cheese curds, that would be a good one for some poutine. Love me some Tillamook cheese.
Let's see what else we got here. Someone says Shadur's not getting drafted at this point. The Browns picked again, and they picked a tight end, Harold Fannin, who is the beast out of Bowling Green.
Stud.
And the Raiders picked a cornerback, looks like.
So, it's not going to be New England. It's probably not going to be Detroit.
Well, and it's crazy now because the Saints took Tyler Shuck, so they're off the board as far as looking at a quarterback. So the other options, what, you were thinking New York, which is now off the board for Jackson Dart. So what, Vegas and Cleveland?
What,
Cleveland?
What if he just pulls his name out and he goes, that's it, UFL only for me. You've disrespected me.
I'm trying to think of, like, this. Or maybe he'd just go back and say, there's no rules in college football anymore. I'm just going to play another year.
Yeah, they'd probably let him.
I mean, there was that kid who, was he a Wisconsin transfer that basically just said, I'm going to Miami. They're like, actually, you can't. The portal's not. He's like, no, I already enrolled. I'm down there. So, yeah. And then NCAA was like,
okay.
You know, we can't really do anything about that. Like, it's the Wild West. There are no rules here.
Well, didn't they? They're getting sued, or I thought that there was a threat of a lawsuit. Like, you can't tell me where I can and can't attend school, regardless of, like, my ancillary or extra activities.
So that was the thing, is that they're basically like, you can't just transfer all willy-nilly. He's like, well, if I get accepted into the school and I'm enrolled in classes, you're going to tell me I can't play football? They're like, I guess not.
Yeah, it's good for them. They have leverage. I never liked seeing kids sit out a full year, so I'm not sure that it's better now with the world of NIL and with the transfer portal the way that it is, but still got to give these kids the ability to go. You can't tell them that. It's against the law. So
let's see here. So two stories here. You can pick either one you want. Do you want inappropriate pilot behavior or I should pose that as a question. Was this inappropriate pilot behavior? Or should you take your baby to a rave? Which one do you want to go with?
Let's go with pilot behavior first. Just my inner ROP seems to be popping out here. Aviation stories, fascinated by. And if y'all don't know, I am obsessed with aviation and actually air crash investigations. So,
interesting. Okay.
It's weird. I'm an infovore. When I dive into something, I got to know everything about it. And for me, aviation is one of my hot buttons.
So overall, I don't mind the idea of a grand proposal. I proposed to my wife with a puppy and a ring. So I know I had a flair for the moment with the little dog there, but this headline reads, pilot proposes to girlfriend mid-flight in heartwarming video. My, quote, co-pilot of love and life.
Okay.
So I don't have an issue with this guy necessarily wanting to get married at 30,000 feet. I assume he has a co-pilot who is doing the job for him, but apparently, mid-flight, he got out of the cockpit and went and proposed to his girlfriend at 30,000 feet. Does the passenger just bother you at all? Are you like, go, like, you're at work? This is my, like, you're driving my plane? Go back to work?
I mean, in the middle of the flight, so I don't know if you knew this, Buck, but the majority of aircraft accidents happen either on takeoff or landing, right?
Yes, I did know that.
So middle of the journey, more often than not, nothing is happening. Hell, a lot of times captains or pilots are taking naps. Like I've seen like, oh, what are pilots doing during the flight? A lot of times one will nod off while the other keeps, you know, track of everything. So this is fine. I think the biggest issue is like safety. You know, if the pilot's coming out in amongst the passengers, like I don't want him getting punched. I don't want our pilot getting taken out or one of our pilots getting taken out. I think that's kind of the only thing that I'd be scared of.
But yeah, I don't think that is. It's more that I'm just like, is this the time and place?
I understand what you're saying.
Overall, I don't. I'm not like. I don't know. I guess if I proposed to, you know, my wife while I was on the radio, it'd be the same thing. But this whole, I don't know. And then somebody else asked, "What if she said no? Are you worried about how your flight's going to go the rest of the way?"
Say yeah. Yes,
but only until
or
we land.
Well, it's the old "Always Sunny." It's because of the implication.
Because of the implication.
Could you imagine if, oh my God, this plane crashed because a pilot asked his girlfriend to marry her, she said no, and then he decided to crash the plane. My God. That's dark, but I don't know, I feel like that's a... We're living in a world of enough anguish that, hell, that could happen somewhere. And we've seen enough rejected proposals to know that that also could happen.
All right, well, I have a question about whether you should take a baby to a rave. I thought the answer would be no. Turns out the answer may be yes. We'll wrap up the club next on The Fan.
I love Tesla.
And apparently so do the, was it the Saints? Who was just on the clock?
Yeah. Hold on. I'll pull up my, last team that drafted a kid named Tesla.
Yeah, his name was, I guess you'd pronounce
the Detroit Lions.
Tesla. It's T E
capital S
and then capital S L A A. But to me, it looks like Tesla.
Yeah, it's like Tesla. Isaac Tesla. We don't have the volume up, so we can't hear. But there you go.
It's Tesla.
I love Tesla.
I love Tesla.
Thank you, President. God.
Still no Shadur. 70 picks in.
Yeah, we might not see him until Saturday now. We're literally, like I said last segment, looking at a value proposition for any of these teams at this point. And the options, as far as availability for quarterbacks, kind of shrinking. And it's not like the Raiders really need a quarterback, right? Because they got Geno Smith, so Cleveland? That's it.
This is actually, like, pretty shocking.
Like at this point, yeah.
A lot of the movement late was, hey, he'll be a late first round or maybe not taken in the first round. But for him to fall all the way into the third round is really insane. And then it also gets into the question of
why?
If you take him, he's clearly your backup. But the problem with him being a backup is you don't want your backup quarterback giving press conferences. And he's going to have a bunch of press conferences. Yeah. So does that make him fall even further?
I mean, Pittsburgh, they still don't have a quarterback. They're picking 19th here in the third round.
The teams who needed one are now suddenly getting great value if they decide to pull the trigger all the way down here.
Like absolutely.
Jalen
Milroe, McCord, you got
Howard.
Yeah, thank you. Will Howard.
Ewers.
There's a lot of good names here, like decent names that at least somebody would be willing to take a chance on, not necessarily franchise-changing quarterbacks here.
Well, neither of you have children yet, but are either one of you ravers? You guys ever go to a rave?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah?
It was called Glow... I almost said the wrong thing. It was called Glow Job.
Oh!
Yeah, like I almost said the other thing. Nope! Dump! No, I went to a rave. It was called Glow Job, all neon-themed rave. It was freaking awesome.
Were there any babies there?
There were not. And rightfully so, but apparently not according to this story.
Yeah, I'm reading the New York Post that the Big Apple, now the epicenter of baby raves. It says, welcome to the world of baby raves, where energy is high, but the sound levels are safe for children and parents approaching their middle age. The lighting is top-notch, but won't overwhelm. There's face painting and party favors and little juice boxes for the kiddos and canned cocktails for their multitasking parents. Kids go all out on the dance floor, loving every second of the lights, music, and interactive elements. But we've also seen parents relive their festival days, dancing just as hard, sometimes harder than their kids.
I mean, so is this like they're with their kids the whole time, or is there like a babysitter there so they can
go
and party?
No, yeah, they are with their kids. Okay. A lot of them have like special headphones or earphones on. Some of them have their kids in the baby Bjorns. Here's a couple with twins, and they're wearing 10-month-olds strapped to them.
This is weird. Okay.
I will go out and say I don't think these are really raves. I think it's...
No.
They took elements of dancing and music and made them family-friendly to be a family-friendly experience. This is not a rave.
This is raves?
This is the daytime. This is...
This is raves for people that go to raves without doing the rave things.
Right. Well,
if that makes sense. Like, these are the people that are like, cool, I'm at home, EDM relaxing music.
So that's when, the article starts. It says that, like, millennials, Kevin and Kelly, love the nightlife almost as much as each other. So they dance their way through married life in Mediterranean and in Ibiza. But then when Kelly found out she was pregnant, her joy was only matched by her sorrow to think that the days of dancing to EDM in a crowd of sweaty strangers were over. Not anymore! So yeah, it's people who love that vibe and are like, I still want to do that. Can I just go do it without the drugs and instead pop in my kids? And to me, that makes it not a rave.
But a super tamed down version. This is not a rave. This is like a... It's like if you go to a house that you were going to drop your kids off for daycare that day, and they had flashy lights, and they had canned cocktails for you. This is not very fancy, in my opinion.
On a recent weekend afternoon, the paternal party animals hit the floor, each with a 10-month-old strapped to their chest, as the little ravers in an industrial chic space in Brooklyn, of course.
They don't even know what they're doing. The kids, I mean. Like, they're hanging out. They don't know what a rave is.
Not so fast, Schultzy. I found a quote from one of the kids. Oh, okay. I love to party, says 4-year-old Lucas Lopez.
But what is a party to a 4-year-old? As you just showed me, your 4-year-old, their class was so nice, or the class was so nice to him, sang him happy birthday. That is a party to a 4-year-old. What does a party entail to this 4-year-old raver? This is weird.
Says Nadine Walker brought her son Lucas with his best friend Killian and let the boys run around and burn off some steam.
Cool.
She said, I haven't been to a club in years, but I felt like I was in a club.
No, you were not.
And that's where it's falling short. It did not feel like a club because there were kids running around.
No, you know what? We need to sponsor, like, everybody that was at this party. We need to now take them to an actual club and then hear the follow-up because...
I am both a fan and a proponent of having your children participate in adult activities with you.
Totes.
Because I don't think you should change your entire life as an adult, but also there are certain activities that are just not child appropriate. And I know this is catered for the children, so it's okay, but this ain't a rave. You're not raving.
Just call the grandparents, go to a real rave, okay?
Thanks to Isaac and Souk for having us in. This trio will be back with you on Monday, primetime, 3 to 7, 1080 The Fan.
Of space.